You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past.
Hey, everybody. This is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for joining us for this weekend's Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. We're going to take a listen to Friday's first hour, where Todd started off with some political talk before bringing on Brady Ewing, 3-time Big Ten championship with the Badgers and former NFL fullback. Take a listen.
Downtown Madison, going to start warming up. The Dane County Farmers Market here in Madison kicks off tomorrow on the Capitol Square. You know winter is officially over when the carts and the booze and all the great producers come back to the square.
I didn't actually realize that was this weekend because I don't pay attention to what's happening outside of, you know, political news.
Remember what Ken Lewis says. We're never so poor that we can't pay attention.
Yes, it is. It is a bad choice.
But do you enjoy the farmer's market?
Yeah, I think I should go tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be nice weather. I'll get up. But, you know, this time of year, just stuff maybe in a hoop house that's been, you know, grown early, or they could have winter, you know, things carried over, potatoes and that kind of thing. Honey is always a big one this time. You know, they still have honey and eggs. I mean, eggs. I mean, I mean, they may have put Capitol Police around the egg.
Might
booth.
Have to. Although at least, you know, you can get the baked goods that they always have.
Yes.
If you want to just buy food
cheesy,
to eat right
the
then.
Spicy, cheesy bread.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Goodness gracious. So anyway, check out the farmer's market near you. We have a lot of them all across the state of Wisconsin, and very exciting indeed is those. And, you know, I don't think every farmer's market is kicking off this weekend, but check in your local area. Big show today. Really looking forward to it. In hour two at 1:30, it's our bi-weekly visit from the managing editor of EBOM's World, Mr. Peter Rapine, will be in with a humorous look at the Week in Review. Always a good time had by all. Speaking of Ken Lewis, also, what's worse today, and this timely indeed, the spring is here, folks. Open up the windows a little bit. Talk about laundry or cleaning.
Do some spring cleaning.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
What's worse than that? We'll talk a little bit about that. And our old friend Brady Ewing, an ongoing contributor, his biweekly visit is this week. Of course, he is a 3-time Big Ten champion with the Wisconsin Badger football team. He spent 3 years in the NFL and just an all-around great guy. And now works in the dairy industry here in Wisconsin. So we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming draft. Brady's going to tell us about a new volleyball league. I hadn't even heard about this. We'll talk about that a little bit. And also, big doings when it comes to cheese and dairy coming up right here in Wisconsin. In fact, in Madison, Wisconsin. So Brady's going to fill us in on that as well. And maybe even a little turkey hunting news. Brady's a big turkey hunter. So we'll see if he's been out yet or if his stamp is still in the mix coming up. So Brady Ewing at the bottom of the hour. And Scott Klug, former Republican congressman. Now he calls himself a political orphan. And one of his segments called A Take from a Political Orphan coming up this half hour. Scott Klug will be in. This is an interesting one because it deals with an immigrant and it also deals with somebody just trying to be a small business person.
Actually very fitting for the first weekend of the farmer's market.
Yeah, right. And back in the day, and I was working for Klug when this happened, the government tried to overreach a little bit. And it's an interesting story. So stick around for that as well. But I want to lead things off with more on the Trump tariffs. Talked a little more. We talked a lot about this yesterday. And it just continues. There are onions. There are layers on the onion that we keep peeling away and peeling off. And we find out more and more how these Trump tariffs are going to affect each and every one of us, regardless. I mean, a couple days ago, Trump said, well, you know, we're not going to do the 100%. Now it's down to 10. Oh, except for China. We're actually jacking that one up even further, 135, 140. Sounds like an auctioneer. Sounds like a great, the late, great auctioneer, Danny Shay, for you. 135, 145. Hey, you know, those are the Trump tariffs. And of course, the markets for a day kind of rebounded. Now they lost again. It's up and down all over. So here now a story from CBS News. And I love this. Well, I don't love it, but I love the reporting. Headline, consumers now face tariff surcharges for some goods as companies pass along the cost. So you understand that it's not just the tariff alone. Now, as was predicted, many companies are passing on a tariff surcharge to you and me. From CBS News, the Trump administration's volley of tariffs has U.S. companies scrambling for ways to absorb and, if possible, avoid the added business costs. Now, remember, I'm going to step away from the article. Remember, during the campaign, Trump advanced all these people. No, you're not going to have to. We're sticking it to the Chinese. We're sticking it to the foreign countries. You're not going to have to pay for it. No, as it turns out, that's not true. Actually, companies are like, yeah, we're not paying for that. We're not absorbing that. We're passing that on to the consumer. Back to the story. Some enterprises, from small businesses to nationally recognized brands, have already announced higher prices, citing President Trump's tariffs, while others, from footwear companies to furniture brands, are warning consumers to brace for increased costs to come. Amazon CEO Andy Jassy, that's a great name, told CNBC yesterday that he expects the tariffs to lead to higher prices on a host of consumer goods, noting that the site's third-party sellers are likely to pass on tariff-related costs. Some consumers are also preparing for price hikes by stocking up on goods that they think are likely to become more expensive if the U.S. reciprocal levies on dozens of countries, which are paused for 90 days, end up taking effect. So basically what they're saying there is, look, we have no trust that Trump's going to wait 90 days to put these big tariffs back on worldwide again. And if he does, who knows for how long? And as we talked yesterday, the markets and industry, they hate uncertainty. So some consumers, like Todd, went out and, I mean, I don't want to say I'm hoarding. Well, maybe the toilet paper enough. Because I literally have enough toilet paper stashed away like a squirrel. I could wipe my rear end from now till Christmas. That's true. So I guess.
I feel like that's, you know, that's not a bad, if you have the space for it, like, that's not a huge deal.
It's like, I mean, it was.
You're going to use it.
It's basically like two of the 36 mega roll things.
Right. You're not hoarding a warehouse.
Right.
You.
It's 60 yeah. bucks worth of TP. And that's going to last me to the end of the year. But some people are doing the same thing. They're just like, well, look, I'm going to buy some of this stuff now. Zomers went out and bought shoes. I may do the same thing this weekend because sneakers, tennis shoes may go up $100, $200, $300 if this stuff is, you know, continues or goes through. Anyway, back to the story. A 10% tariff on all U.S. imports remain in place. China, which accounts for nearly a third of all goods imported into the U.S., faces levies of up to 145% on some items. In an escalation of the trade war between the world's two largest economies, Beijing fired back today by announcing it will hike duties on American exports from 84% to 125% and deriding Mr. Trump's tariffs as, quote unquote, a joke. Although the tariffs and retaliatory moves by other countries have yet to hit the economic growth, U.S. businesses are not waiting around. Some are introducing, get this, tariff surcharges, announcing new prices on their website in letters to consumers. And it's not just things that you might think are like tennis shoes or whatever. Here's a company called, this is in this story from CBS, I love it, Dame, D-A-M-E, Dame. A sexual wellness brand that makes adult toys and personal care products has implemented a $5 Trump tariff surcharge that is automatically added to a customer's online shopping cart at checkout. Well, now what am I going to do this weekend?
I don't know. I mean, if you were ordering that for this weekend, you probably should have ordered it already
exactly.
Anyway.
Dame CEO Alexandria Fine says the Fed doesn't cover all of its extra costs and that the company is analyzing its pricing, given that most of the products are made in China. Quote, our whole industry is in China, so we've already seen the impact. She told CBS Money Watch.
Or have they felt
That's
the
real.
Impact? I don't know.
I don't know. They dial up little Beach Boys. Good vibrations. Anyway, Fine said she also wants to be transparent with customers about what's happening, rather than quietly inflating prices. Quote, the intention of adding the Trump tariff surcharge is a line item at checkout was to remind people that the extra tax is on us. I wanted people to understand why it's more expensive. That is because the political decisions that are being made. And it's not just niche markets like this. Micron, maker of U.S. chips, also doing the same thing. Honeywell, building automation, which designs safety and efficiency systems for buildings, is also adding a new Trump tariff surcharge of 6.4%. Other companies are using the situation as a promotional tool. While it's true that consumers could eventually pay more if they wait to purchase furniture, electronics, automobiles, and more, quote-unquote, get this, pre-tariff sales, unquote, play into consumers' fears that prices could rise and can be an effective way to boost sales, according to experts. So there you go. we're gonna get it stuck to us on these tariffs one way or another. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Wisco Paul, about a minute left. Wisco, what do you say?
I'll try to make it quick here. Trump's smarter than he thinks he, or not as smart as he thinks he is, and you need to surround yourself with some good people. He hasn't done that. But the big thing to watch is the bond market, especially the 10-year bond market. Mm-hmm. China and other foreign countries have a lot of money in our bond funds, and they're starting to pull it. And if they continue to pull it, it could cause a total collapse of our economy. If anybody wants to call in and differ on me on that opinion, they're welcome to. But you could have a total tank job here, Todd, and I guess that wouldn't be cool.
Right.
Have a great day.
Hey.
Looking forward to your new time slot.
Hey, thanks, Wisco. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend up there. Wisco Paul. No, he's absolutely right. This is just, it's creating instability. And now we're going to see corporations take even further advantage in some cases and add these Trump surcharges on
this. Now
you
can't even afford to go screw yourself.
And with that, we'll be back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
For those of us who sometimes feel lost in the middle, time for our weekly commentary from political orphan, former Congressman Scott Kluge.
Each year, the federal government publishes 200,000 pages of new federal regulations, and it's hard to believe we paid someone to dream this one up. The call came into my congressional office from a Colombian emigre who thought she had found her precious corner of the American dream in Madison. Her family had started the quintessential small business. They were hand-making empanadas and selling them in a food cart on the Library Mall on the University of Wisconsin campus. If you've never had one, think of a Hostess apple pie, but actually filled with something healthy, like meat and vegetables. Sales from her food cart had been so brisk that Madison retailers had started stocking her empanadas in the frozen food section. But her moment of great pride was to be her undoing. Out of the blue, the FDA demanded she remove all those packages from the stores and destroy them. Her sin? The product was labeled South American Empanadas. Your federal government was outraged that the product was labeled South American because it was made in Madison. When my congressional staff reached out to the FDA, boom, we got the back of the hand. The good news for my constituent was that I served on the committee which had jurisdiction over the FDA. Rounding up a posse of Republican and Democratic buddies, we invited the FDA deputy commissioner for a sit-down. A phalanx of suits walked into my office. We got a recitation of the regs, read like an old-time revival meeting. Every single word was sacred. So, we got the last laugh. We began to pull from grocery bags, bottles of Russian and Italian dressing, Greek olives, French bread. We opened the office refrigerator and pulled out frozen chicken Kiev, a little Mongolian barbecue, and how about some Chinese dumplings? To make the story even more hilarious, the salad dressing props in our show were manufactured by Kraft in Canada. So get this straight, French dressing from a Toronto suburb was okay, but empanadas made right here in Madison were not. Admitting they overreach, the FDA officials quietly shuffled out of the room. But ask yourself, why an agency with a $7 billion budget chose to spend your tax dollars on the empanada misadventure? That's my take. I'm political orphan Scott Kluge.
There you go. Scott Kluge with another take for the political orphan side of things, 24 past the hour of 12 noon. Now, I was working for Kluge at the time. I was not the staffer that handled that particular case, but I remember it. I think it's just a good example of there are times, in fact, when the government overreaches. And here's a person that was just, you know, she's an immigrant, just trying to make ends meet, doing what she could do. And
successfully.
Right, successfully. And the FDA says, I know you can't manufacture South American empanadas in Madison, Wisconsin, but you can have Italian dressing made in Toronto, Canada, and sell that in Wisconsin. Or like the, you know, Mongolian chicken, French bread. I mean, there are some things like champagne, for instance. There's big world copyrights on that, and you can only call it champagne if it's manufactured or comes from the Champagne or Champagne, or I don't know, I don't speak French other than we. But, you know, so that's one there. And of course, there have been more recently in Wisconsin legal fights over, can you call oat milk milk? Can you call
it isn't milk?
Can you call soy milk milk? Well, that's the debate, is that, you know, I would say that milk only comes from cows.
And well, so it comes from mammals.
But oat milk comes from a plant.
Right. It does not come from a mammal, so it's right. Not milk.
So it's not
it's
milk.
A milk alternative.
But they, yeah, well, that's the big copyright, everything else debate is whether it should be labeled as oat milk alternative or juice.
Oat beverage.
I don't know.
I think beverage is what they were going for.
Right.
Or drink.
And I get that from a dairy farmer perspective. I mean, hey, milk only comes from cows or goats or, like Zahmer says, mammals. So anyway, if you have any thoughts quickly on that, about 3 or 4 minutes here left in the half hour, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And there's so many stories like that out there. And again, I'm not here to, you know, hate on government. Good Lord, I worked for it for a long time. And as we've talked on this show before, and now we got a guy in there, and Trump is just, he's going too far, right? I mean, he's just trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Instead of taking and reforming some things, like Kluge's example there, on the occasion when government overreaches and saying, hey, time out, let's just apply a little common sense here. Instead of that, now we got Trump going in there just taking a bulldozer to the whole thing and a flamethrower and burning it all down. So anyway, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Would be happy to hear from you. What do you think on that, Zahmer? Have you ever seen an example like that of overreach, so to speak?
I'm having trouble thinking of things. I mean, I'm having trouble thinking of an example right now, but it's very much, sometimes bureaucracy gets in the way of common sense. Like you said, Yeah. They're just following the rules, and they're not stepping back to think, wait, do the rules make sense here?
Right. And I think if you ask—
And are they applied fairly?
If you ask most Wisconsinites, again, it comes down to common sense, right? Back when I was working in the state government, you had Scott Walker and his folks that wanted to go up and rape and pillage the environmental laws and regulations, particularly in northern Wisconsin, all under the guise, under the facade of, oh, we're going to create tens of thousands of jobs. He had a State of the State address just up the street here in the Capitol. He had, you know, people in hard hats with picks behind him and had like the state seal. Said, oh, there's miners on here, you know. Well, yeah. I mean, when the state was started in southwest Wisconsin, Mineral Point area had lead miners, right?
It's named Mineral Point.
All right. There are other, certainly mining is a part of Wisconsin here, but these laws that Walker pushed through ultimately undo all the protections and leave particularly our native populations vulnerable in northern Wisconsin. The rice fields in northern Wisconsin, and this is something I learned, I didn't know this, that the rice fields to many of our Native American tribes are tantamount to our place, our sanctuaries, if you're a Christian, a church, if you're a Jewish person, a temple. And so those are very sacred places. And Walker put all those places at risk. And so that's a case where government just goes too far. And on the other side of that, I worked a case where the DNR one time wanted to stop someone from building a lake house because there was a cattail plant on the lot.
Right, I remember hearing about that.
It's just two extremes, right? Never too extreme, and that is Brady Ewing. Always hits the right tone. We'll come back, talk a little sports, life, outdoors, whatever he wants. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for sticking around on the Best of the Todd Allball Show for this weekend. Here's Todd's conversation with Brady Ewing.
To this day, when I hear that song, I see you standing there on that lawn. Discount shades, store-bought tan, flip-flops and cut-off jeans. Somewhere between that setting sun.
If you hear that song and it's Friday, it must be time for number 34 at 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Friday, TGIF, April 11th, 2025. Mr. Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badger football team as a fullback and then spent 3 years in the league, as they call it. The NFL is more commonly referenced to those of us who did not play in the league. And now is back with his lovely family in the southwest Wisconsin working in the dairy industry. Brady, how the heck are you?
Doing awesome, Todd. Thanks for having me join. I especially love the Springsteen Eric Church song right now. My wife and I, Rachel, who you know,
yes.
we have our wedding anniversary of 13 years this Monday, and that was our first dance song.
13
so there,
years.
There you go. I know. Makes me feel a little elder.
Judas Priest. Well, Brady and Rachel were kind enough to invite me to. I went to the reception. It seems like it was a couple of years ago. 13
Isn't that wild?
Years.
I know. You're telling me. So that was a song that's near and dear to our heart. Yeah. And as it came on there with our anniversary being Monday, that just had to say that. So shout out to Rachel. Love you. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Happy anniversary to Rachel. Happy anniversary to Brady. And wow, 13 years. Time goes fast, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, we say that, but then when occasions like this happen, and it's like, wow, that really puts it in great perspective. So, well, good. I'm glad we were able to play the song for you. Brady, lots going on, but yet not a lot going on. It's kind of that lull in the sporting season. We just wrapped up the Final Four in college basketball. Of course, the Badgers fell a little short getting to the Sweet 16 this year, and it was the Florida Gators going all the way. First time all four number one seeds have been in the Final Four since, like, what was it, 2006, 2007, something like that?
Yeah.
Been a while. Did you fill out a bracket? I forget this year.
I did. Yeah, I did a couple of them and had quite a few of the teams correct down the stretch that made it to the Final Four. I had Duke actually winning the whole thing. So a little bit of a bummer there, especially with the way that game transpired, right, and the way that, you know, that they let that slip out of their fingers. I mean, leave it to March Madness, but you very rarely see that a team, I think they were up 6 or 7 down the stretch, missing free throws, some turnovers, timely free throw makes and shots from Houston, and just super entertaining. You love to see it, but very rarely do you see a team be able to foul and get back into a game the way that they did.
It was like 6 minutes left. I'm watching in my chair, and I'm kind of like dozing off a little bit. And I think at that point, I think that Duke was still up by at least 10. And then I woke up at 3 in the morning. I'm like, oh, geez, my neck, and I got to go to bed. I'm like, well, I'm sure Duke probably. And I look at my phone, and here Houston comes back and wins it. I'm like, oh. But I did go back and watch the last 6 minutes after that the next day. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Wisconsin Badgers, some big news there, I think, over the last couple of weeks. First of all, John Blackwell saying he's going to test the NBA waters while still maintaining eligibility, pledging that he'll come back and play for Greg Gard if he doesn't go to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Winter signs a deal to come back for another year at Wisconsin. Jack Janicki, like yourself, a walk-on, and gets a scholarship and signs with the Badgers for next year. That was a big get because a lot of people thought, based on this year, Janicki might be gone with a bigger NIL deal. And Greg Gard, yep, once again, adds three other big stars here, or at least big, seemingly big players, already in the portal and seems to be on the way to another competitive year next year.
Yeah, it's awesome to see that, but weird. Just look at the way you're talking about them putting that team together. It sounds like it's a professional team, you know, signs a deal and, you know, grab this guy out of the transfer portal or free agency. And so it's fascinating the way that's evolved. And we've talked about that a lot, so I don't need to go down that route, but those are huge gets to maintain Winter, Janicki, and potentially Blackwell as well, depending on where he goes or what he ends up doing. I don't blame him for doing that, trying to see, test the waters in the NBA. He's had a great year. Do I think he could benefit from staying? I do. But why not? Why not get the experience, go out, as long as he's going to come back to Wisconsin selfishly? I think that will be awesome. So Greg's finding a way to piece the team together and maintain guys that I think are, you know, somewhat pledged to Wisconsin. They have a bond there for whatever reason. He's been able to maintain them while still bringing in pieces like Tanya and others that can come in and be immediate contributors in today's college basketball.
Is the NFL a little bit different than the NBA? I mean, basketball, obviously, different sports, but I mean, in the NFL, once you declare, you're done, right, with college? Or do you get to test the waters if you want to, the same way as they do with college basketball in the NBA?
If you declare for the NFL, I think that's a done deal. Like, right, you're going. What you can do, which I would say would be more of an equivalent, is put your name out there to get a grade from a certain amount of teams or general managers or scouting feedback from the league. And that's where guys will get a letter, say, hey, we project you at a, you know, third to fifth round grade right now. And some guys use that to help make their decision depending on their individual circumstances.
Speaking of your former key sport, football, Badger spring ball getting ready to finish up, I think, what, this week or next. This was something that when I was growing up, it was a huge deal, which culminated with the Crazy Legs and the red and white, or the cardinal and white scrimmage. It was a big deal. And now it just seems like the last 3-4 years, not just at Wisconsin, but a lot of other places, it just kind of all goes under the radar and it's not such a big deal.
It does. I mean, even when I was back playing, you know, we did open practices throughout spring camp, you know, here and there, and then you have the game and all of that. But with the change of college landscape again, it just, I don't think these coaches sometimes even know who or what they'll have for spring practice. And they're spending so much time and energy retaining what they have, which you historically kind of took for granted, and then going out and trying to find different pieces of the puzzle. And I have no idea what phase or the open periods are for some of that, but it just, more and more coaches across different sports are becoming more transparent about their frustration and the time and the energy they're putting into the recruiting process. Even during the, you know, NCAA tournament run, you know, there's some basketball coaches that spoke out about it. And it's just, I think you're going to see more and more of them get burnt out on that, or, you know, need to transition more to those general manager roles to help manage a lot of that. And you're seeing a lot of people add those to their staffs as well. So,
yeah,
fascinating stuff.
It is. Speaking of football in the NFL, of course, the NFL draft going to be coming up here in a couple of weeks. And for the first time ever, in Lambeau or just outside of Lambeau Field in Green Bay. We've already seen in our great station, WGBW, up in Green Bay, has been doing a lot of great reporting. The morning show up there, Mino and the mayor, and our own Pete Schwab at Nightline have been talking about this. They're already seeing things being built. Some roads are being closed off. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, Green Bay is going to be a great city for this. To think of the amount of visitors there are going to be influxed and the impact on the economy for the state of Wisconsin and the Green Bay area. Like that's all great. And I think it's cool to put a spotlight on Green Bay. Like we've had that with Lambeau Field in the past, but this national stage is going to be really cool. So excited to see it. Is that, what are they seeing up there? I haven't heard much of the report. So you said there's some structures going up.
Yeah. I think they put up the quote unquote, the roof over the main stage. Cause it's not going to be in Lambeau Field proper. It's going to be just out kind of towards the Titletown area is my understanding part of it. And the other part will be kind of be on the other side of Lambeau towards the Resch Center. So I think the main stage is closer to the Resch Center. And then there are other, there's NFL experience and all that ancillary stuff that they put up for people who are going to go up there to experience, quote unquote, the NFL. So, I mean, I don't know whether they're going to put you in the middle and these dummies run at you like, you know, like a Brady Ewing fullback or something. Like, oh my God. I don't know.
Put him out there in a bubble wrap suit and let him you know, get hit by something really hard.
Yeah, so but it's gonna be a lot of fun, and our great team up there at Green Bay WGBW will be helping us cover it as we start to get closer and closer to the NFL draft. Brady, we were chatting this morning a little bit about this segment, and you said, "Hey, do you want to talk about Love Beef Volleyball?" And I'm like, "Is the guy day drinking? I mean, what the hell is he?" I didn't know what this is, and I said, "Well,
I'm not
sure."
Great at spelling, but.
So explain to us, explain to Todd, what is Love Bee Volleyball and in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I'm just learning about it too. But I asked Rachel, my wife, who I mentioned earlier, about how you're supposed to pronounce that. So it's L-O-V-B, and but they make the B actually look like an E and it's kind of chopped off. So it's a professional volleyball league from what I understand. Madison is one of six teams throughout the country. Lauren Carlini, Sarah Franklin are both on the Madison team.
Wow.
And a bunch of others, obviously, but there's different hubs. And it seems like they've focused these hubs around some very successful states that have successful college programs. Mm. So last night, Omaha was actually playing Madison, and they were, I believe, playing in Louisville because this is their tournament, kind of the end of their season here.
Sure.
And so, yeah, there were some Nebraska players on the Omaha team. And it was good. It was competitive. They were having fun out there. It didn't quite have the energy that you would see in the, you know, the connection you would have when at least Badger volleyball is playing for me personally, but fun to watch them compete. Like you said, kind of a lull period here. So been watching some things like that, a little baseball for us. We don't watch a ton of that. So doing more of that. And then, you know, some of the ancillary football leagues too. You know, they got plenty going on right now. So
now what do you think?
Been cool to check out some of that stuff.
Oh, super. And I'm glad you educated me on this. So is it pronounced Love B or just Love, but it looks like the E looks like a B?
I just say Love. I think it's supposed to be like L-O, like Love Volleyball VB, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I get it now. Got it. Numbskull Todd. That's what it is. It's Love, but the last VB is a Love Volleyball. Got it.
Right. Yeah. So it's the cross between the E and the B at the end of Love. So yeah, a text message is not easy to convey that. So.
By the way, I just found out that the Tooth Fairy is made up about a month ago. So it takes me a while to
Oh, man.
I know.
Hopefully my kids aren't listening. Oh, God. God. I'm just kidding. We're good.
Sorry about that. But the point is,
a bunch of people's dreams out there.
Yeah, it takes me a while. It takes me a while, you know, to get things. So that's cool marketing. Love volleyball. That's fantastic. And is it women only then? Or
yes.
All right.
Yep.
And this is great because, you know, more opportunities, particularly for young women to continue to play after college. You get paid for it at some level. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. We just did a quick Google search, and you know you can trust Google on everything.
Of course.
So we did a quick Google search, and it says some of these players are making, you know, I think 50,000 to 80,000, if I remember right.
Really?
So, yeah,
wow.
Really cool to see another avenue for women's volleyball. I mean, that sport continues to take off. I was talking to some local high schools, bigger high schools in the state of Wisconsin, and just the amount of interest and involvement they have in volleyball has skyrocketed. And some of them have seen kind of a little decrease, especially in women's basketball, because of that and the year-round nature of club volleyball and things like that.
Well, I mean, we got a minute left here. Let's talk about that for a second, because, I mean, Kelly Sheffield and the Wisconsin Badger volleyball team has just really increased that sport. But what do you make of this new volleyball coach, basketball coach for Wisconsin women's side? You know, she did not have a stellar career at Missouri, was basically asked to leave, has a sub 500. It does not sound like somebody who's going to energize the program.
Honestly, I saw that she was hired. I haven't done a ton of research on her, but I think having a successful record, especially coming to a place like Wisconsin, you want to see that, because we have such a high standard for all of our sports, and we have such high success from volleyball, football, historically, men's basketball, hockey. I mean, rowing, I mean, you can go across track and field. I mean, literally every sport across the board, which is, you want to have somebody that has a track record of success. Now, I'm sure she's a great person. She's a great coach, and maybe just looking for the right place to build something special. So I'll speak out of both sides of my mouth on that. I'll play the politically correct card.
L.A. Tom says, Todd, you ruined every child's dream that listens to Civic Media. Good job. I was kidding. Of course the Tooth Fairy is real. I just got $100. Come on back. It's Brady Ewing talking about turkey hunting and cheese on the other side on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Springsteen.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's payday.
Thanks for sticking around on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show for this weekend. Here's Todd's conversation with Brady Ewing.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Gotta get that cheese. Sommers, it's been a while since you played that. That was good.
It's been a bit. You said something about cheese.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Welcome. That was quick, Sommers. Nice.
He's the fastest boarder in the West, let me tell you. He's fantastic. Talking with Brady Ewing, 3-time Big Ten champion for Wisconsin football back in the day. 13 years ago, I guess, fullback, the fullback, and also spent 3 years in the NFL, and now lives back here in Wisconsin and working in the dairy industry. Brady, let's talk about that for a second, because you schooled me a little bit as well on this. You said, well, I'm going to be in your neighborhood here next week at the Alliant Energy Center for CheeseCon. Now we have a Comic-Con where people dress up as Mr. Spock or wherever. So what is a CheeseCon, and what do you have to wear to it?
Yeah, this is just business attire, so I hate to break that to you, but wearing your polo. Some people wear their button-ups, but CheeseCon is basically, they alternate CheeseCon in Madison with the Cheese Expo over in Milwaukee, and it's an annual dairy-related industry event where people from all over the country come, and either both from the manufacturing side but also from the supplier side, have tabletop booths at CheeseCon. There's dinner surrounding it. There's hospitality suites, and just basically an opportunity to get the whole industry together and talk shop, have a bunch of meetings, have everybody in one spot to accomplish a lot. This CheeseCon is awesome. Madison's a great host city. Going to Milwaukee and Cheese Expo, that is quite the event. I mean, they host that downtown Milwaukee. I'm blanking on what location it's
probably
at.
It used to be called Midwest Express Center, and then it's like it's had 5 iterations. It's the big convention center downtown, but yeah.
The Alliant Energy Center?
It's not here.
That's the Madison one. Yeah. But that one is, the Milwaukee one is crazy, because they'll actually bring 00 vats, which are the vats, the stainless steel vats that they actually make cheese in. They put milk in and make cheese in. They'll bring those into the convention center. There's robots all around doing work. There's case packers from that one's more focused on automation and equipment. So fun to be a part of these industry events, and cool to see people that you work with virtually or over email and on phone a lot. They make trips to Madison and get everybody together. It's a good time.
So we got to leave room for turkey hunting, but just real quickly. So it's not so much people can't go there, like go through and taste 100 cheeses. It's more an industry trade show. There might be some cheese there, but it's more for the dairy industry around the world that descends in Wisconsin.
Exactly right. Yeah. Good clarification point. And they do cycle these around the U.S. Cheese Championships and then the World Cheese Championships or World Cheese Contest. And so they celebrate, they do different dinners to celebrate the winners as they come into Madison and Milwaukee and to acknowledge them. There's fundraisers for scholarships to support people pursuing different things in the dairy industry, different education to give back that way. So it's a really fantastic week and excited to see some industry folks and talk shop.
Well, okay. If you have a break, text me. Come over and have a beer on the patio or something like that. And I'm like six blocks away. So
Not far at all.
That's fantastic. So that's Cheese Con coming up. Put on your cheese head hats and your green cheese your orange Cheeto suits and head over to the Alliant Energy Center. They have trading cards.
That's right.
Trading cards. Munster versus Swiss. And
we can take it. Hey, we got it. That's maybe a business idea, Todd.
All right, let's talk after the show. All right, it's spring, Brady, and spring always brings to mind. I know there's also fall, but I think of turkey hunting as a springtime event. I know you're a hunter as well. Have you gotten your stamp? Have you been out, or do you have a later season?
Ready to go. It hasn't kicked off yet, so the youth season is the first opportunity. Would be this weekend, and then first season or season A, I think they actually call it, starts next Wednesday through the following Tuesday. So have a little bit of I won't be able to do as much as I typically would because of Cheese Con and all of that. But yeah, I'm super excited. The boys and I have been popping out in the evenings and doing our owl hoots to try to locate where the toms are roosting at up in the hills. And people would probably think I was a lunatic if they saw me from a distance. Like, what is this guy doing? Hooting like an owl. Or on my, Rachel will pull him up every once in a while on the Ring camera. I'm like, did you see yourself here? But yeah, I absolutely love this time of year to see the woods waking up and hear turkeys gobbling and leaves starting to come on the trees. It's just an amazing time to get outside. Looks like we're going to have some nicer weather coming down the pike here. So I love it.
And for my money, turkey hunting is just the best because these birds are so darn smart that, you know, it's the whole calling you have to have a strategy, a plan here. It ain't gun deer season where you just sit there and wait for something to run by in 3 hours.
Exactly right. Yeah. The ability to interact with the bird, even if you're owl hooting and making them quote unquote shot gobble, just interacting with the birds is really special. And so I'd like to give like the boys a slate call or something where they can make a sound and get them to interact. And it's really a rush for them just engage with a wild creature that way. And then hopefully in nature, typically the females go to the males, but you're trying to reverse that. So you're acting like a female making calls to the male turkeys and trying to call them in and just experience that. And honestly, a lot of times I call them in and just let them walk off just because I enjoy the process and I don't necessarily want it to be over.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a good time. Plus you get a little more interaction time with people. Like if the turkeys aren't around, you hear them in a distance, you're in a blind, you can get away with some talking and some interaction. So it's a really fun time and a good community event too.
Oh, I totally agree. Zomers, you've said that you have done some amateur taxidermy on turkeys in your time.
Yeah, mostly my dad, but I've helped out a little bit. Anytime he and I go turkey hunting, he always takes the feet and puts them in weird shapes and makes them into things. Like sometimes he'll take the foot, shake it like a claw, and it'll be a back scratcher. That's the most common one. Makes a good gift, you know.
Brady, this is a whole industry for your kids to get into at the Richland County Farmers Market. Turkey back scratchers.
Among other things. Man. That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.